I'm Amanda Cerny.
And I'm Summer Rae.
And we want you to listen to our new podcast,
Oh Honey.
This is where our lovesick listeners write in their diary entries and we give our best advice.
Oh Honey covers anything from catching your crush's attention to living your best single life.
And we have some very special guests that you don't want to miss. So make sure you download our Oh Honey podcast on Apple Podcasts.
Or your favorite podcast app.
Oh Honey.
Oh Honey.
Oh Honey.
I want it! Ibaka trying to stay with Durant. Knocks it away and Durant's limping. Durant goes down holding his leg. Ibaka goes up and is fouled down the other end. And Durant grabbing that right leg. It's the right calf that put him out. And his teammates going over to check on him.
One thing we have to keep in mind is that, and we talked about it on the show, but at the same time, it comes from two different points.
Then all of a sudden, you want to say, oh,
well, you know what? I think for me, I don't know if I can speak for everybody else.
This is Dead in Sports.
This is the place where sports opinions collide, Dead in Sports. I'm your host, Kenneth B. Inge. Joining me as usual is FIFO 24/7. Mr. Disrespect, a.k.a. Nikki Duse from the No Disrespect Podcast.
How y'all doing?
And frames per second, check that out. We did Ma, we did Brightburn, we did Dark Phoenix. Y'all gotta listen to the Dark Phoenix. That
might be the best one that we did in a while.
Yeah, we went in. BZ430, he'll be in here in a sec, as I mentioned earlier, for the live broadcast that he was out there wrapping up with Dead in Gaming. So he'll be in here to talk about the finals. But we're going to start, man. We're not going to bury the lead. Let's get right to it. KD snapped his Achilles. He played in game five, trying to be the hero.
Like a jackass.
Come on, man.
He a jackass for that. And this goes back to my main point of why he shouldn't be really listening to the outside noise. And this is the consequence of that. Because he did not have to come back. He shouldn't have come back at all. His homies,
they need
everybody
him.
Told him not to come back. How the hell are y'all down 3-1 all of a sudden the doctor clear you?
Okay,
the
so
Warriors
I thought that
doctor
was
clears you.
So I was talking to Manny or texting with Manny from the Any Given Sunday podcast. Check him out. And he's on the Dead End Podcast Network, by the way. Make sure you guys subscribe. And you know, he was like, I'm not with the conspiracy theories about the doctors and all this other stuff. And I was like, all right, fine. I said, yeah, you know, I'm kind of with you on there. I said, but I did find it interesting that Jalen Rose reported that the practice didn't go well, and so did Brian Windhorst the day before. And then the next day he practicing. Then after that, he's questionable. Next thing you know, he's cleared. And not only is he cleared to play, but it's without minutes restriction.
He played what? 12 out of the 13 minutes before he injured himself?
Yeah, but he was killing him, though.
He was. He was ready. Y'all know who that is.
But Steve Kerr, come on. He sat Klay Thompson when Klay wasn't, like, Klay could have played that game. What was it, game three?
Mm-hmm.
He sat Klay Thompson.
But that's, I mean.
But he not going to let KD rest? Like,
KD has rested.
He did.
It's not just a rest, though. It's a big injury. Like, Klay Thompson had a hammy that you could come back from as long as you don't do any sharp-ass moves. Like, KD is like, if you even land wrong, it might be messed up.
And, you know, I think what I found interesting, right, like, in that Houston series when KD went down, he didn't go for his calf. Mm. If you watch it, and shit, let's pull it up. Let me fact check myself. But from memory, I don't remember him reaching for his calf.
No, he did.
It looked like it was his lower leg.
Everybody said it was his lower leg.
No, well, I mean, didn't they call it a lower leg injury? Then they said it was
that's what they called it last night. But that's not what they called it during Houston. That's not what they called it after Houston. They called it a lower or a calf strain. And all I know is that when he reached down against Houston, he grabbed his Achilles. It's the same place he grabbed last night.
It was the same place he grabbed last night. Clearly, he wasn't ready. I understand people saying that he was cleared. I think he was 75-80%. You know the saying, 75-80% is better than Anthony McKinney. at 100%.
That's not true. That's not true. Because at least Anthony McKinney, you ain't got to worry about him bouncing wrong and he going to be out for the whole series. That's KD. KD doesn't help you. Clearly it doesn't help you.
Wait. Hold on. KD now doesn't help you with his Achilles. But that hobble KD before he tore his Achilles was helping a lot, bro.
11 points in 12 minutes.
He was helping a lot. Look at Steph. He got all them open looks, too. He had 14.
High risk, high reward. Now you don't. Now you know for sure he's not coming back.
He was helping.
But from a psyche, you're right, Ken. But from a psyche perspective, obviously, you don't want nobody. And I'm not wishing injury on anybody. But now you know definitively KD is out.
Yeah.
So you're not hoping, you're not, you know, oh, is he gonna play? You already know what it is. And if he's really one of your brothers, if he's really a teammate, if he's really ingratiated in that locker room and that culture the way that it's perceived to be.
That story's been changing.
Well, it's
because you heard that report that came out of the locker room where people was questioning how hurt he really was.
And also early on when, you know, the whole Draymond KD beef, I get that, but at the end of the day, you hoop with this guy and you know the type of work he puts in,
and they look really bothered by everything that went down.
Exactly.
They just wanted to know if he was going to play or not. Just let us know so we don't have to prepare.
But then whose fault is that? Is that KD's fault?
What do you
mean? Is that the Warriors' fault? The Warriors are the ones that keep being reporting.
Human, but that's just being human.
We all knew that he should not have played at all since he got that injury.
We don't know that.
What do you mean we don't know?
Because I always thought KD was going to come back. This is the finals.
You just described the fact that it was not a calf injury.
I understand what my perspective is, but I'm also not a doctor. And I also know that a lot of athletes in this day and age, they come back relatively quickly from stuff and they still perform at a high level.
But if
we're talking about outliers, though.
If you listen to Chris Carter, man,
he broke that down.
He be breaking it down
ASAP. When it first happened, he was like, that might be an Achilles injury. That boy ain't coming back in 2 to 3 weeks. The first timeline they try to give out.
And even when he heard he was going to play, he still was iffy on it. He was like, man, and even Charles Barkley was like, man, he ain't played in a month. You can't just get out there like that.
It's blah, the NBA blah, 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 finals. Blah. You it's know, a game. It's the series clincher for but, if the Raptors win, it's over.
I know, but
you can't be put.
But that's exactly why he went, Nick.
But that's the stupid reason why he got hurt now.
It cost him a year, but man, when you got a chance to win a title.
This ain't just a year, though. This is a game-changing year. The fact that he's hurt now changes everything for the NBA this offseason.
Not everything.
Not everything?
Not everything. It changes a lot, but it doesn't change everything. Because those teams that still wanted KD, they still going to go after KD.
There's three franchises that are going to be changed because of this injury.
I agree. It is what it is. But at the end of the day, if KD truly wants to leave, then he'll leave.
Yeah, that's his mind made up.
I think he stays now.
Why? To collect that check, that free money?
Well, that too. And also, at least for his mental capacity, it's like, why go through rehab with a whole new team, a whole new organization? I got to get ingrained with them. And on top of that, I have to get over mentally my injury. Instead of just being like, what's the best team to stay on right now that they'll give me all the time that I need? I've already bled for this team, clearly. You know what I'm saying? Like, what other team can really support him now?
And Golden State can give him 50 more million than any other team, right? Like, look.
But we already know that he already knew he could get that.
Yeah, money ain't an issue.
He was still planning on leaving anyway.
But it helps. It helps.
No. But going to Nick's point, it makes most logical sense to just opt in. You already know the staff. You already have your routine getting to and from the arena, the practice facility, all of that stuff. Do you really want to start a rehab process with a new organization? But that's also can be one of those organizations that want him. That can be one of their ends. Like, our medical staff is XYZ. We've done this, that, and the third. You know what I'm saying? So I can see it from both sides, but I think that it makes most sense for him to stay with Golden State right now.
Yes.
And then,
so you think he's staying 2B?
Yeah. And look at free agency the year after. Because here's the thing, people, all the teams that want you now can still want you then. And I think that the NBA, these NBA teams, because do you know, like, when you don't make or your roster isn't at a certain amount, like if you don't meet the salary cap, that difference. So like, let's say if your salary cap is at 100 million, right? And let's say you only have 60 million in salary.
Mm-hmm.
That 40 million is split amongst the team, the staff and everybody. That difference. So to me, I think that the New Yorks of the world, the Nets of the world, don't go out here spending on middle tiered guys. Save it.
Nah, I'm with you on that, because
save it
for the Knicks. This year has clearly not gone the way we wanted to, and it's our, and it, the draft hasn't even started yet. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, at this point, bunker down. You've been doing this rebuild process the last couple years.
So don't go after KD.
I'm saying still go after him, but don't go in it saying like we need to sign two max free agents this summer. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's just get KD. Let's give him all the, give him the Kawhi treatment, give him everything he needs. Mm-hmm. And then next season, AD's gonna be on the table. You know what I mean? I'm basically saying don't trade for AD. Is he
gonna be on the table
though? I mean, he's a free agent next year.
I mean, but Pelicans already talking about they wouldn't add a three-team trade.
And for what the Knicks have right now, I'd rather them keep that than it's to me, this is just like the Carmelo Anthony deal all over again as far as what they're trying to propose to AD. It's like it's gonna gut the team for one star. It won't equal what we want it to equal.
But at the end of the day, it's not like the Knicks have a plethora of great guys. Like, they have just a whole bunch of young players. That's
still developing.
But the jury is still out.
But
you know you're getting something guaranteed with AD. You know that your front office minus the owner is very solid, right? You know that
your coach,
good coach. You know what I'm saying? I think that this move makes more sense than Carmelo. Because if you look at the players that were involved in that Carmelo Anthony trade, they were more established players. Like, Danilo Gallinari was already a something.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Wilson Chandler. Raymond Felton. Like,
all of these guys were something already. These guys all have question marks.
Mm-hmm.
And you're getting AD in return. I say pull the trigger.
It's just too much. And because we're talking about future draft picks as well. We just got our picks back from all them years ago we were selling them picks.
But the thing is what type of draft picks do you need when you're in contention?
I'm saying why?
Because you're going to be drafting 29, 28, 27. Like, realistically, who do you get down there?
Why spend the money on milk when we about to get a cow tomorrow? Like, it's like he going to be on the free agent market this next summer. It's not like
You won't get him. Because he's going to go to the Lakers.
All right, bro. We already knew he was going to say that.
But here's the thing, I'm telling you right now.
Yeah.
When you leave it up to free agency, it's a bigger risk than trading for that player.
He only named two teams.
Oh, I understand.
That's why
all that.
If they trade for him,
you guarantee yourself.
Yep, he'll
the
stay.
Asset.
If they wait a year, he's going to go to the Lakers.
And then this is going to my next point. Is AD worth it?
Mm.
I think AD
couldn't take a Pelicans team with a Drew Holiday, with the Drew Holiday, Julius Randle. Like, there was a lot of years that AD was there that he did the Kemba Walker shit, put up great numbers, but y'all ain't in the playoffs. So it's like, what? Why am I giving up potential that could be as great, like as good, less than, like, you don't know what they can be. They can be all stars, or they can be all busts.
So you're saying he's like Melo?
I said this reminds me of the Carmelo Anthony deal. Not because, obviously, don't try to disrespect Carmelo. He's a Hall of Famer. But
is AD.
AD's a Hall of Famer?
It's still
the
early.
Numbers.
He's not a Hall of Famer.
He's not a Hall
bro.
Of Famer. You can't just say because that's Watch. Another conversation. But I'm just saying.
CP never competed for a championship, realistically.
Yeah, but
And he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
But he's broke records.
And he put Future on in front of it.
Okay, fine. Future Hall
of Famer. I feel
okay.
better.
But all I'm saying is that I don't think AD is worth gutting the team, sending all these draft picks down to New Orleans, especially if he can just up and leave us the next year, too.
I feel you on gutting the team only if there's true value there. You don't know what value is really there.
We got RJ Barrett.
Sure, whoever's in that trade involving AD, he's gonna have to do a sign thing. Right?
I don't think so because he still has one year on his contract.
That means that when New York trades for him, they retain his bird rights, and they're the ones that can offer him the $221 million.
Okay,
so their bird rights go with him.
That he would sign.
It's like Kawhi,
exactly. Because again, if AD goes into free agency in 2020, then that means that he could only sign for $170 million, and that's regardless if he goes to the Lakers or the Knicks.
When you say gutting the team, who we losing?
Exactly. We losing Mitchell Robinson, okay. Kevin Knox, the third pick, Dennis yep. Smith Jr.,
see you later.
Frank Nicolita. Now, the last one I just named, I don't give a damn about, but that's like that's five players right okay. there.
And I'd rather, because I have AD, get minimum veterans than have young, cheap players.
We don't know what RJ Barrett could be.
I feel you,
truth.
But But it's gonna take 3 to 5.
And AD he'll probably be in that package.
Well, right,
give the
the third pick.
Right now, what was our top choice right now? It was KD. Mm-hmm. KD's hurt. KD's gone for 9 to 12 months.
Okay.
So we not winning nothing next year. It was going to be a 2 to 3 year thing
But here's the thing, though.
KD's talking about he's trying to play till he's 40, so we got time.
But if you get AD and you can sign Kyrie and sign a whole bunch of 1 year deals.
Kyrie ain't coming.
But listen.
We don't know.
We don't know.
Right now, the front runners are the Nets.
Ken just said that AD going to LA, but now we
talking
about.
Operate on the premise that. That's where Kyrie, he's gonna Kyrie go to going the to Nets. Nets. Yeah,
Kyrie's going to the Nets. That's what I'm saying. My only concern is KD. I'll still sign KD hurt, but everything else, I'm willing
Kyrie
to wait
to the Nets. So what that does with D'Angelo Russell? We all think
they got to trade him.
Yep.
Man,
because right now they got 45.
No, because he's a restricted free agent. So what that means is that another team is probably going to offer like a ridiculous contract to him, and the Nets aren't going to match.
They're just going to bring on Kyrie.
Yeah, but let me make sure he's a restricted
free agent. He is. We looked it up. Yeah,
but they need to trade him anyway to free up cap space to get 2 max.
The Nets.
Yeah,
I thought they already can get.
They got 1 max.
But they have enough space for 2 because the Allen Crabb trade made
not for 2 supermax.
Huh?
Not for 2 supermax.
But you can offer 2 max. You can offer 2 max.
But then
you can sign if you sign these two guys before you offer D'Angelo Russell. Because remember, that contract doesn't go into effect this year. It goes into effect next year.
Yeah, when he's
free agent. If they sign 2 guys, they can still offer D'Angelo Russell max money too. Because you could go over the cap to sign your own guys.
I think right now they're banking on Kyrie to come, and they're hoping that he talks to somebody else. Because I don't think
there's who like who.
Now that KD's gone, I don't know.
And KD was all signs were pointing to New York, the Knicks, so that was out, which may be why Kyrie was picking to the Nets so he can have his own team again. But
I mean, you saw that win in Boston.
Yeah, I don't think nobody's trusting Kyrie to run a team no more.
They're not, but it may go better in Brooklyn.
Why would it go better?
It's his choice. And then he doesn't have to deal with all of the noise. He kind of got the KD thing, too. We're winning without Kyrie. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't really need
game
Kyrie.
Away from the finals.
Yeah, all that stuff. Yeah.
Oh, so. You talking about the Boston fan noise?
Yeah.
I mean... If he gets Brooklyn a third seed or a fourth seed, they'll be happy. So I guess low expectations. That's what he's going for now.
Yeah, but different coach, different system.
Yep. Do you think him and what's his name? Lefty.
LeVert?
No. The point guard.
Russell?
D'Angelo. You think they can coexist?
Hell no. Nah.
That's Hell very nah. interesting backcourt.
Those are two alphas. That reminds me.
I don't know if Russell is that much of an alpha.
D'Angelo can play off the ball though.
Yeah. Nah, I'm talking about Kyrie working with somebody. Remember how Deion Waiters was?
But that was not a good pick.
They're both ball handlers.
But it's more so how Deion has to score. Like you have to look. It's all about making the pieces fit, right? If I have a ball dominant scoring first point guard, I need a defensive off the ball type of shooting guard, right?
Like, is D'Angelo ball dominant like that?
Yeah, he is.
He's ball dominant. He's a point guard, but he's a playmaker. So I don't think he really cares about scoring like that. I think he would willingly give that up to Kyrie. But can D'Angelo really guard the twos of this league?
Nah, it won't work.
You see what I'm saying?
It won't work.
So that's kind of like, and then like they're just small. They're just
that's
small.
What I'm saying. Who is Kyrie going to guard?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're just small. So I don't know how that would work.
If I'm KD, if you're going to go. If you're going to go, man. Because go ahead and start your future wherever you're planning on going. So if it's New York, go spend the year, get acclimated to their medical staff and all that stuff, and take the time off and rehab, which is a given. We know he's going to have to do that.
That's what I was saying, but like he could just sign like a 1-for-1 with Golden State.
No, yeah, he can opt in, take 31 mil this year, and then leave next year. It would be shady as hell, but that's the contract. That's the deal they negotiated.
You'll get one more year out of KD. That's another championship run.
Well, he's not coming back until fall of 2020.
Yeah, now. But I mean, if he does, I'm thinking he'll do a 1-on-1. Like, I'll rehab this year, and next year I'll come back, and then I go free agent after that.
Fall of next year?
It's going to be next. Yeah, I think. Look how long was Boogie out?
Boogie was out. He got hurt, but right before the playoffs,
right, and before the playoffs, and he came back
in March.
Wasn't
it March?
I thought it was like Well, it probably was March. I mean, maybe he was like already doing.
It was top of the next year, though.
Top of this year.
Yeah, he got hurt like a month or two before
the playoffs.
The playoffs, I think.
Now, So you probably saying it's gonna be fall of 2020.
I don't know why I was thinking.
I mean, you know, it just depends.
His recovery and everything goes.
Yeah, and what he wants to do. If he wants to go ahead and start recovering in the next place, or if he wants to just stay there. You know, just how emotionally he's going to deal with that, win or lose. And I think that's
going to. And honestly, this summer, like, you know.
Why do you think he should stay?
I mean, you're in a good situation, pretty much. You got a good front office. You got a good system. You got a good coach. You're surrounded by great players. I mean, clearly they need you. You know what I'm saying? Like,
this is a great bonding moment for
showing,
them.
It's showing that whatever what Draymond says, y'all need KD. I mean, because let's be real, we still put an asterisk next to him beating LeBron with Dellavedova as his second best scorer. The next year, they lost a 3-1 lead to LeBron. Draymond was in the parking lot, called Kevin Durant. Come here. Two championships later, possibly might get a three-peat. They need him, man. I mean, like, they getting ready to possibly lose to the Raptors without KD.
KD.
I mean, look how he looked when he came in.
Yeah, KD put that team over the top.
He was 5-for-5.
3-for-3-for-3.
Dude, like, Leonard couldn't do nothing with him, dog.
Nah.
Like, that was crazy.
He hobbled, too.
That's crazy. Yeah, and he's hobbling, too, but Leonard's trying, but.
Couldn't even keep up with him.
Yeah, KD. That's why I stay if I'm KD.
Yeah, right. KD puts that team over the top. We saw last night, right, like those two big threes. That Klay.
First 7 minutes. It was like, oh.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No. Yeah. When KD came in, when he started, that was ridiculous. Yes. That
I was just like, oh,
that
my just, God.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Because he wasn't hitting nothing. He wasn't touching no rim, bro. It looked like he ain't missed no 9 damn playoff games.
With defense in him.
Exactly.
No, he had Kawhi. He had Kawhi like this.
You saw that block he had early on? But to me, right, like I think that when you look at how Golden State is constructed, right, and where Klay and Steph are now in their careers.
Yes.
They can get to the Western Conference Finals and possibly some finals without KD. They're that damn good. And we saw what that championship moxie was last night, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we saw after that Nick Nurse timeout, Steph come off of that. And he was right on the line. Nothing but damn. Net. Next Klay. Possession, Klay. Right? Like the young Splash Brothers would have missed those shots. These guys ain't missing those shots. So when you add KD to that, that's where the dynasty comes in. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And
then the engine like Draymond that's just steadily pumping.
And I felt before the season that, you know, KD should go somewhere else, get your own team, build this. Seeing this and how it's gone down, I think that the story is a better story if he stays with Golden State and completes that dynasty.
And that original thought was going off of it was already a championship year this year, right?
Exactly.
Like, he was already going to get a third ring. Everybody assumed he was going to get a third ring.
Give him the championship.
And then it was
give
like, okay, then now you can leave. You know what I'm saying? That's your final mission for us. But now, like, you sit, like, the storyline is just – this is about this. This will be about their brotherhood right now. This recovery time, and this is the best time for all of them to get do their little, you know, speech and be like, "Hey, bro, you might as well stay."
I think Klay said they want to win it for him. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to win the title for him.
About to do it,
and that's why. Now we got to talk about Toronto.
They about to do it, man.
Because
you know what I'm saying,
FIFO. You brought up a great point. That damn timeout.
Nervous, Nick.
That nervous. Damn timeout.
Nervous Nick.
He nervous, man.
Hey, why the fuck Kawhi dropped about 10, 12 points in a minute?
He claimed that they were tired. That's why he called the timeout. That's the claim.
And then I said that to you, Ken.
I know.
And that's what I'm saying. Like,
no excuse, Rob.
Bro, this is fourth quarter. This is the last 2 minutes. What the fuck is you calling the timeout?
Rookie
I'm
coach.
Hot.
Kawhi was in the rhythm. He was in the rhythm.
And that was his, that's the biggest mistake he's made all playoffs.
If FIFO is on the rhythm,
why would you?
And Kawhi was even upset.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking around like, he just scored 10. Like, he got y'all up.
Dude.
Y'all up.
This is the
103-97.
This is the
y'all
win
at
right
home. That's what I'm saying. Y'all at home.
That was his finals moment.
I was talking to Ken the whole. We was watching the game because after we recorded frames per second, I'm like, bruh, the only reason why I'm confident that they was gonna win that last night or on Monday night was because Kawhi don't fuck around. Mm-hmm. Like when he smelled blood, like mm-hmm. when there's blood in the water, it's a wrap.
Going up, I was like, oh shit, nigga.
He came down like what was it? The other game where he just pulled up from three. Bop.
Yep.
Took it inside. Yep. Bop. Like they couldn't guard him. God. And I'm like, keep going. Cause at that point he only had 16 points up to that point.
I'm like, damn. Fucking Nick, man. I was mad. I was thinking about your head. I was like, damn. So when they gave it to him again, I'm like, damn it.
With the one hand.
With the one hand. I'm like,
big ass hand just throwing it up there
Damn.
I'm like, that man is on a mission. Then I see Kyle Lowry call a damn timeout. I'm like, who hurt? I'm looking around like, what's going on? Like, why? There's got to be some reason. I'm like, they just called a timeout for Golden State, one of the best teams to come out of the timeout.
To regroup. And
they was gassed too.
Show their championship pedigree.
I was like, he
called two.
Called two of them, yeah. Two timeouts.
The second one he had to, because that was the second three.
Lose it.
This is why Golden State's going to win it.
Nah, man.
He ain't going to make that mistake again.
Yeah.
That was definitely a
Kawhi sat him in a corner and said, hey, bro.
A lot of people called him, I bet.
Yeah, this is championship grit.
And here's the thing, right? Like, I think this is the part of coaching where you have to understand momentum. And that momentum and energy, whatever energy you have, that momentum will carry you. Because that's what was carrying Kawhi. Kawhi really had no legs like that. He just wanted it. That rebound? Remember that rebound, that putback? He wanted that more than everybody else. And that's what momentum does. And that's what can win you a championship. And when you, for any reason, kind of stifle that momentum, it's hard to get it back. And that's what we saw. It was hard to get it back because we saw missed three after turnover after missed layup by Marc Gasol. You know what I'm saying? Another missed three by Kyle Lowry. So
Don't get me started on Kyle Lowry.
Five of the last seven possessions, Kyle Lowry had the ball and he either took four shots or he passed it to Gasol and then he missed the layup. Mm-hmm. He turned the ball over. He missed a wide open three. And then he missed, of course, the shot that was blocked by Draymond. Mm-hmm. It counts as a miss, but it was blocked.
Mm-hmm. Counts as a block, too.
But he had the ball and not Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi took two shots after that mm-hmm. big run.
So, again, another coaching mistake. At that point.
Defensive possession.
Yeah, that was.
You talking about the last one?
Yeah.
I don't know why
Kawhi was just sitting at the top. I'm like, bro, attack. You only need one.
But he got double teamed early.
And
the helper was equal. First of all, the defender defending you is Klay.
Right.
He's not giving you much.
He got the ball, and he was about to attack, and then that's when
Iggy
stepped up. That's what I'm saying. As soon as he got the ball, he should have went away from Iggy, or at least
he couldn't. He was pulling up. He was going up for the shot.
Yeah, Klay was on his left. Iguodala was coming center right.
Yep.
And as soon as he saw Iguodala, he tried to make a move.
He had to.
The only move he really had was if he chased Marc Gasol for the ball. But you still got you got two defenders on you. You think they're going to leave? This is too smart of a team.
So the thing was that.
Obviously, you want Kawhi with the last shot, but the Raptors played smartly. Gasol got it, passed it to whoever was on the wing that made the pass to Lowry in the corner, which is the right play.
It's the right play,
But the difference with Golden State and almost every other team in the NBA is Draymond, right? Like, this is the type of stuff, the block comes up in the stat sheet, but the way he played Marc Gasol, he played both. If you watch that play, he's playing both of them. Mm-hmm. It's like, go ahead and pass this shit to Marc Gasol and watch how I get this steal. Or go ahead and pass it to Kyle Lowry and watch how I defend this shot.
The defensive awareness was on point.
He played both.
He made a big three.
But the biggest play of the game was that play, and because of Draymond.
Saying like there were things leading that he did.
I think that shot was gonna go in if it didn't get blocked.
I 100% agree.
You think Kyle Lowry's the hero?
Yeah, man. Because it was perfect. Rotation was look. I've been either the person that creates the dribble penetration and kick out, and I see it rotate because the ball carries energy, man. The ball carries energy.
Yeah, because Van Vliet was the one that I think he the one that passed it.
He's the one that passed it. And I've been on the receiving end of somebody be penetrating. I see pass, and I know I'm gonna get it. And when I get it, I know I'm not gonna miss this. The way Kyle Lowry released that, it's a clean release. And you see literally Draymond's middle finger and this finger
hit the
barely
ball.
Because of his momentum.
Yeah.
Kyle Lowry would have won that game for them.
That would have been nuts.
That would have been crazy.
But
we'd been having a whole different conversation today.
You had a chance to call a timeout. You get it. You did have the ball back.
Yeah, they did have one.
You get the ball back off of a questionable offensive foul.
Right, on DeMarcus Cousins.
On DeMarcus Cousins, because they do that the whole
game. They was trying to make DeMarcus Cousins the enemy like of this game. Because like the goaltending. Yeah, and now with the screen.
Well the goaltend I get. Because at the end of the day, like, he didn't want to get beat like that. It was going to go in regardless. So he just goaltended. Fuck that. I think the big play that Boogie could have made to lose him the game was that offensive foul on that moving screen.
Mm-hmm. Was that a moving screen?
It was a moving screen. They do it all the time, though.
But here's the thing.
Because I was like, didn't KG make a career on that type of screen?
but the thing is that your rear end got to be out there already and stationary. If you watch the replay in slow motion, he's like the person, whoever he hit, was literally got hit the floor, and Boogie is still kind of setting his left foot on that. If he would have just stayed there and put the butt out and would have been stationary, they wouldn't have called that because that's a good screen in the NBA. But yeah, he's still moving into that position of putting himself out there.
I thought it was over. I thought Nick was going to call a timeout, set up a game-winning play.
He didn't do shit.
And no, he just ran it.
But see, I think it's very hindsight, him not calling a timeout after the double team got the ball out of Kawhi Leonard's hand.
He could have did it then, too. No, you talking about when the double team came?
Yeah, no. What I'm saying is that everybody criticizing Nick Nurse for that, I think it's hindsight. Because in that moment, his team made the right basketball play and they got a good look.
They did,
but it was on some bullshit. Like, it wasn't a design type of play.
But that's what basketball's supposed to be.
But it's the shot to win the finals. You at least call a timeout and say, let's talk this over. Like, let's get the best shot. Like, if we really going to make this decision to end the game.
But they got a good shot. You forced a double team. Talk about what do superstars do. Force double team. He put the ball down one time.
But I told you. With you, they got a good play. Because they did, Kyle Lowry, whoever was running that play or started that play, knew what play they wanted to run, which is fine. But I think just calling a timeout, resetting the team, granted it would have gave Golden State a chance to set their defense, but I think he could have designed or pulled something out of the hat to get them a more high efficient.
Because they have 5 seconds left. They have five seconds left, too.
But let me tell you this, right? Like, the reason why I pointed out that Draymond defensive play against Marc Gasol and Kyle Lowry is because if it's any other person, Toronto probably
No, I know that. I know that.
So again, that's what I'm saying. That decision to criticize Nick Nurse is hindsight. I'm expecting
a timeout as soon as that
the double team comes?
No, the screen, the when they got the screen on Cousins, when they got the offensive foul call. I'm expecting a timeout because this is the last shot.
Okay. I think they got into a play. I think they just could have gotten a better play.
Yeah.
And I'm not disagreeing.
Because you only need a two. It could have been like a...
No, I'm not disagreeing, but a good shot is a good shot. Right? And it's not like it was Siakam in the corner, because we saw Siakam in the corner all game.
Yeah, he can eat.
Right?
All right, let me ask you. Would you have called a timeout or would you let them play?
I would have let them play. But I also would have let them play when Kawhi was dominating, too. I wouldn't have stopped my guy. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So
there's one timeout too late.
Exactly. So that's what I'm saying. Like, that timeout, that was the absolute wrong call. That's a bad coaching decision.
I would have called a timeout.
But the other one that we're criticizing him for, I think that's
I use all my time, especially if this is the last shot. This could be what makes your career. You know what I'm saying? And now looking back on it, this could be what ends his career.
Ends whose career?
Nick Nurse?
Oh. Nah, he's fine. He's fine.
I'm saying if they lose going down, they were up 3-1 and they lose, you think that's not gonna end his career?
No.
Championship pedigree, Nick.
Okay. What championship he won? I'm talking about Golden State.
Steve Kerr.
It's all about Golden State. That's not about Steve Kerr, man.
B, you were sweating that all last night. You thought Kawhi was going.
But B, two of these wins, Golden State, or their championship DNA got them the wins.
Yes.
Yep. They should have lost both of them.
They should have lost both of them games.
Yeah. They should have got swept.
Championship, baby.
They should have got swept.
Got that pedigree going.
They got to come back and win. They only won by one point.
Three-peat coming, baby.
Well, actually, Durant won them that last game. And Toronto struggled the whole game. Kawhi was the one that kind of put him over the top. And Nurse came in that fourth quarter, he put him on.
He put him on
because they had so many shots to take over. Because you felt the momentum coming, and every time Golden State would just douse that shit.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, but to me,
I like Toronto's resiliency. Like, they were down a lot. this past game. And they came back.
Beginning of the game, Golden State was hitting them with haymakers and haymakers, but Toronto was still like there. Yeah, they were still there. And I was like, golly, I hope these fools don't win.
You really think they're going to be able to win this without KD now?
Yeah,
I think that's
possible. Y'all are delusional.
Forget the possible part. We know it's possible. I know it's possible. Because I'm sitting here thinking like...
They're doing this for KD.
KG told me anything's possible. I want to know what's... I want to know what y'all really think.
I'm going to still stick with Golden State.
Thank you.
I'm not switching up to Golden State.
Thank you. All right, wait. Hold on.
I'm not being fanboy.
No. I know.
That's who I pick.
Are you...
You know my team is, baby.
That's not what I'm asking. I'm not asking if you're going down with the ship. Because I had Toronto in five. So I'm pissed off. I'm pissed at Nick Nurse more than any of y'all motherfuckers.
I know you are.
Because that shit was right there. But... Forget going down with the ship. Based on everything that you've seen,
what makes you think that the Warriors can win with this squad? Like win the best out of just seven. Said.
Championship pedigree, man.
You got. That's they all barely. You, got. Won. You they, just talked about how Kyle Lowry could have won the.
But it comes into like coaching situations.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Steve Kerr is not gonna crumble in those coaching situations.
High IQ players. Look, Golden State has more high IQ players than Toronto does.
Yes. Where's Siakam been?
One good game.
Two games. Come on.
What was the second game?
The second game was game when he had 18 and 9.
That's not a good game. He was
for what that whole starting five is that
where is that
he's
game one performance?
The whole
where is that game one performance?
Game one.
Of course, he ain't dropping 32. Right.
But he hasn't going to shoot 82%. But at the end of the day, you got to feel his presence because he's a physical. Player out there,
yes,
and you don't feel his presence.
He's missing runners. He's making bad plays. Yes. He's scoring because he's a scoring option on that team.
Why are the deflections on defense? Why are the blocks on defense? Where's his rotation on defense?
He looks bad.
He's not dominating any.
I'm not saying he's a dominant player. I'm just saying he's supported.
No. Look. You know how I always be talking about championship role players and things of that.
Yeah.
A guy like Siakam for this squad. Right, it's supposed to have an impact. The impact isn't always going to be the same.
It's not always been felt. I agree. It hasn't always been felt.
And that's my only point. After game one, you have not felt his
impact
on the game.
But I'm saying when they went up, when it was 3-1, that game, the game they went up 3-1, he was effective in that game. He was definitely.
But he'll score. I think for me, it's his efficiency. He's 6-14, 6-6.
Yeah,
that's not good enough.
He
not good enough.
He needs to play better. He needs to play like Ibaka. If you're not gonna be able to score like that, at least
for your presence on the jumper though,
huh?
Yeah, Ibaka got
I'm talking about the deflections and the defense.
Exactly, that's impact. That doesn't always come up on the stat sheet.
He needs to be more consistent.
He needs to come out with more energy.
You're gonna have that with Golden State,
but. To me, them being on the road is actually, it may be an advantage because they've shown that they are
only
not.
Only for Kyle Lowry.
They're not scared to be on the road.
Only right? for Kyle Lowry.
Throughout these playoffs, the Raptors have not been afraid to go on the road.
About win this Thursday.
Exactly. And then think about.
Win this Thursday.
When you think about the hardest place to play a playoff game, what comes to mind?
They got two already.
That's what I'm saying. What are you talking about? This is. Look here. They never went on the road.
No matter. Look.
But this is the last game.
Thank you.
But what I'm saying.
And how many times have they won at Oracle?
Listen.
They're undefeated at Oracle this season.
They thought that in game 4-2.
This is going to be a different. Look, we know what Oracle or Roracle as it goes by. We know what it can be. Add another 20 to 80% to that. That's going to be crazy.
They win. You actually think in game 7 they can come back and they can take 3 from Toronto?
In a row?
Here's the thing.
For KD,
they won by 1 point.
I'm not worried about Kawhi.
I'm not worried about Kawhi.
We know what
Kawhi is.
But even Mark Gasol, right? Like, he has NBA experience. He don't have no championship experience. Only Danny Green got championship experience on that squad.
Right. Ibaka got championship experience?
Okay, Ibaka too. But he wasn't a key cog. But either way, that you taking me off my
championship experience. Who he was?
He was in the finals.
Finals. Not championship.
Okay, Miami.
Okay, got you.
You know what I'm saying? But with all that being said, nobody else on that squad. Look, man, Siakam's been lemon booty. You think
he ain't lemon booty, shout out to Kyle. That's a label you gonna put on Siakam?
Hell yeah!
You ain't lemon booty when you drop 32 on the first game.
That's one game.
I'm just saying, like, he hasn't been consistent, but he ain't lemon booty.
He's been lemon booty.
Shout out to Kyle.
We know Kyle Lowry is lemon booty at home, which don't make no sense, right?
That is crazy, ain't it?
Van Vliet balling. Ain't nothing bad to say about
him. He's playing well.
Danny Green has been way inconsistent.
Yeah, he's in my. Yeah. He's on a milk carton somewhere.
To the point where Nick Nurse is starting Van Vliet in the second half now, right?
Ibaka's solid.
I think he needs to play.
Ibaka is solid.
I think he needs to play Norman Powell more than Danny Green.
But see, but even Norman's been up and down. So
I think he just haven't. Well, go ahead.
He hasn't got consistent minutes.
No, but he's the type of guy where it's kind of. He's like your J.R. Smith.
What I was saying is they're interchangeable, I think.
They are, but okay, so you manage different players differently, right? Mm-hmm. Like with Norman Powell, you go in, you give him 5 to 7 minutes.
See what he got.
He ain't got nothing. All right, come over here. Let me play Van Vliet more. Let me, you know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, in game 7, even though it's in Toronto, I don't see Golden State mucking it up.
Well, let's not.
I can see more Toronto Raptors players mucking it up. I can see Nick Nurse making critical coaching decisions. You know what I'm saying? Or not making the right decision in critical moments. Where Steve Kerr, that's where he lives. He lived there as a player. He lived there as a GM. Like, he's lived there. That's not something difficult for him.
But let's not focus on Game 7 because we still got to get through Game 6. What makes you think that the Warriors can win this game at home when they have not won Roracle against this team all playoffs?
Roracle.
At home.
Roracle. They're going to feed off the energy.
The Raptors don't give a damn about that place. That's the only team that matters when it comes to who cares about Oracle.
Nah,
if the Raptors don't care, then I don't care.
Look, Nick, have you ever played meaningful basketball, meaning like a playoff game in high school, college, or a tournament or anything like that?
No, I have not.
So this is the reason why this doesn't resonate with you. When you are playing in one of the biggest moments, right, or the last moment, at a place like Oracle Arena, that energy that you receive as a player, you can't duplicate. And because we already know how raucous that place can really get, just in a normal playoff game, a normal rivalry game, a big matchup, we've seen it. Sometimes it's hard to hear the announcers. What do you think is going to be like the last time ever, regardless if they win or lose, this is the last time that that arena is going to open up for this Golden State dynasty? That place is going to be on a whole nother level. And I know, because we've seen it, that Golden State feeds off of that. And if them boys come out the same way KD came out and the Splash Brothers did in this last game six, or game five, bro, I don't know how Toronto has enough to overcome that.
Here's the thing, man. I just don't see it. I think Golden State has been escaping with victories. At the last minute, I concede that I can more than likely see a game 6 win from Golden State. Momentum at home, last game there. I can also see them coming out on fire, crowd hype and everything. And then just like in game 4, it starts to fizzle. How long will that crowd and will Golden State be able to play at that level? At some point, I think they will get worn down. And Klay and Curry, it will be just too much for them to carry that load like that. They're probably good for, 60? Where are you going to get the other 40, 45 points you need?
Because they have to score in the hundreds to beat this team. That's the only – they haven't even beaten them by scoring in the hundreds.
DeMarcus Cousins saved them in the last game, but we saw in 2 games, we don't know what he's going to do.
That's true. Here's the thing. At the end of the day, all of the variables and gaps that you're trying to poke at, be what's the phrase? Championship
pedigree.
But what does that really mean when it comes to this series? Because they've been down a lot in this series. Because I texted y'all before the games 6. Game 5.
Game 5.
I was like 13 out of the 16 quarters they played.
Mm-hmm.
The Golden State Warriors have been down.
Nick, championship DNA happened in Game 5.
Like you said, that's not sustainable.
Down 3-1. How many quarters did Golden State win against that Cleveland roster?
And that's all I've been thinking about is Cleveland.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's about winning.
I just need to see it to believe it, don't you? Happen one time.
No.
This is the NBA Finals. Y'all think it's going to happen again?
When Cleveland won Game 5, and I was like, oh, they ain't going to be able to do that again. And then they did. I'm like, okay, that's fine. They ain't gonna be able to do that again. And then we know what happened.
But they don't got no LeBron James on their team.
And they went on the road. It's the same
thing. They don't got no. Do they have a LeBron James on their team?
It's the same thing.
No, they don't.
They
have anybody.
They got unanimous. Yeah. They got unanimous.
Do they got is he LeBron James? Is he LeBron James?
He's unanimous.
Is he anything like LeBron James?
Unanimous.
Is he anything like LeBron James? Unanimous.
That fool coming to court, you got to check him.
Okay. Unanimous.
He ain't
unanimous.
He can get the ball out of his hands real quickly.
If KD was still there, I'll be rocking with y'all because nobody can stop him. If KD was still there, yes,
of course.
I think Toronto is going to overwhelm them. Either is it going to be in game 6 or 7? So I'm with you. I do understand where they're coming from,
and
I just
got
to see the Raptors. I'm not. When you say I got to see it to believe it, yes. I got to see them beat Golden State in order to believe it.
And I agree with that. Because like I said in the chat, when y'all was talking hella shit in the chat, I was like, I'm waiting to the end of this game before I talk shit. Because I gotta see 0 on the clock and the Raptors win for me to be, I'm all right, I'm going to cuss everybody else out. But at the same time, the circumstance and the situation that the Golden State Warriors are in, not all because of themselves, because we're talking about injuries. I just can't see that. Like, they barely won this. They've been barely winning all their games.
They've had a lot of things go their way. Toronto couldn't hit any threes in game 5.
Exactly. This should be a sweep. But this should be a sweep.
Championship pedigree.
That's how you can't
quantify championship pedigree into one thing or several things.
Right.
It's execution. It's being mentally tough. It's winning games you're supposed to lose.
Not panicking.
That's what championship exactly. Yeah. Not panicking. You know what I'm saying? Like, those two threes that both Klay and Steph hit are arguably the biggest threes
yes,
of their career.
I agree. But my thing is, like, I trust the players. And Kawhi was ready to kill him. If it wasn't for Nick Nurse,
Kawhi.
That's the player. That's the players.
Where you put ass on it.
Well, I mean, it's a team game.
But that's the point, though. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
Is that Golden State has more championship level IQ guys, where Toronto has one.
And Toronto got good IQ. If Kawhi Hot get the fuck out the way, give him the ball and get the fuck out the way, and that's what they did until Nick Nurse called a timeout.
Nah, man, but it's different with Golden State. You know what?
You're gonna have to tighten that because it's gonna.
I tried.
And the defense possession on that last play.
They're great at execution at the end. Yes, because they have the championship experience. But I'm saying, like Ken said, they gonna come out. I expect them to come out hot.
From
the first quarter and the third quarter. But I think with this Toronto defense, which has been giving them trouble all series long,
their defense,
it's just gonna be like, bro, if it ain't going, it ain't going.
Just got a funny feeling that. Nick Nurse cost them that series.
Don't say it.
Say it.
I'm sorry, man. I've watched a lot of basketball. Come on outside, baby.
Yes. It'd be one major thing.
One thing that could turn a series. Draymond getting suspended. Taking Tim Duncan out.
Yep. Taking Tim Duncan
to allow Ray Allen to allow Chris Bosh to get the rebound
to
Ray Allen.
And tap it out to Ray Allen. Right. Nick Anderson. Who would have known that would have probably.
Oh, Nick Anderson. That's a good one.
His own career. Yeah. Not just that didn't just shape that playoff series.
That was
like,
the rest of the dynasty.
That was it.
Somebody pointed out.
Last night might have shaped that. You said somebody pointed out what?
Yeah, somebody mentioned, and kind of going back to what somebody said, we don't know what's going to happen in game 7. John Starks couldn't hit a shot. But somebody said it wasn't that game that really did it. It was Olajuwon blocking the shot. I forgot who said it. It was today. It was either
Stephen A or Doc.
It probably was Matt.
Yeah.
It was somebody.
But either way, they said John Starks Akeem Olajuwon, same thing that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Blocked John Starks game-winning 3. And it went to game 7, and he couldn't make a
Robert
bucket.
Robert Horry hitting that 3, tying up the series 2-2.
Yep.
And against the Kings.
Oh, yeah.
Against the Kings. Remember Robert Horry, when they tapped out and Robert Horry was right there, hit that 3, they won the game, tied the series. Like, if Sacramento, they would have went up 3-1 if they'd have won that game.
Mm-hmm.
And coming back to Sacramento, that shot changed the whole entire series.
I think Kawhi is a robot. He's a Terminator. He's here to destroy.
We agree.
And I trust Kawhi. Kawhi's got us this far, right? Y'all mentioned that Kawhi got us this far. So I'm going to trust this man. I agree with you.
I don't trust the others.
That's Ken's problem. I don't trust the others.
You just gotta trust the driver. You ain't gotta trust his passengers. You know you gonna get there. You just gotta deal with these niggas real
last
quick.
Night with, nah, just man. Think about all the drama that happened. This is picture perfect. Golden State is about to win this. This is about to happen.
All right, man.
It's about to happen.
Because think about this.
I told
too.
My dad, get the liquor ready, baby. We about to watch Game 7.
So you and B say you say Warriors win Game 6.
Yes.
Easy. Ken, what's your prediction?
He want to go to the Raptors.
He already knows.
I do know.
But he knows,
know.
Baby.
Well, you,
he going to stick to his guns.
Go ahead and say it. Nah, he know.
My gut feeling is telling me that the Warriors are going to win. But I'm going with the Raptors.
That's cool.
I think the Raptors are going to. You know what? I think the Raptors are going to end it.
That's cool.
They're gonna end.
Whatever, Ken. You can do whatever you want. We didn't talk about this aspect of it. We didn't talk about the emotional aspect of losing KD. You know what I'm saying? Just the way he lost.
You felt it in the game as soon as he went down.
Because there was a momentum change. Mm-hmm. You felt the gloom across Golden State and they snapped right back.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And now
Championship pedigree.
And I know that we talked about the KD injury and everything, and Golden State got it back. Bro, I'm telling you. This game, the way these boys start off in game six, it's not going to be like.
But it's also going to depend on what Toronto is doing, because in game four, it looked like they were going to come out and just blow them boys off the map. But I told my brother, we were watching the game that Friday. I was like, he was like, yeah, Golden State got them boys figured out. I was like, no, they don't. I said, Toronto's getting every look they want. They're just not going on. It's going in. It's making them
exactly,
lead.
Exactly.
And then they kept playing. It was a 4-point game.
Around,
we know what happened.
Around, yep.
I think for me, I think what we're looking at one side, we're going to State, but what about Toronto?
Exactly.
Now they know they don't have to worry about KD at all. So Nick Nurse doesn't have to devote any of his game plan to to come up with something to defend KD as he had to do in the last three or four games. Now it's just all about them. So unless they, as long as they don't do what Austin Rivers said they did, that the Rockets did, they'll be fine. They're going to win it.
But I don't think that's the case.
No, I don't think that's the case with this squad. But I do think this, at least for game six, is that I've always said that Golden State is a demoralizing team, and they haven't had a demoralizing win yet.
Yeah, they have.
Which one?
You talking about? Well, you're talking about the usual fashion of Golden State.
Where you mean kinda, a blowout?
Yeah. Or like a stamp.
Exactly. Yeah. Where is this? It don't matter what you do, bro. This shit is just raining.
It's over.
Yeah.
Game two.
Nah, that wasn't like that.
Because it was still close at the end. All these games have been close at the end.
That's Toronto's. That's because Toronto's resilient.
But that goes to his point. That's what he's saying. Like they haven't felt themselves
Golden State
like that.
Victory. We've seen the championship pedigree.
They don't have it, FIFO.
But I think in game six they will.
I don't think so.
Because I don't think they got it without KD, bro.
I think game six they will.
FIFO, what shot has Toronto not gotten that they didn't create them on themselves? Like they've gotten really all the shots that they really want to get. It's just that if they make it, they make it. If they miss, they miss. You know what I'm saying? Like even the Kyle Lowry shot, like you said, he said that was a great shot. It's just there was an exceptional defensive play. So it's like, how many exceptional defensive play can you expect out of the Golden State Warriors every single game?
I think that Golden State makes the plays that they need to make. They haven't been making them consistently. But I think this game six, I think this is, you know, they've already hit the switch, right? Because they're already in playoff mode. We've seen them. Mm-hmm. We've seen the championship pedigree. But there's a whole nother level that these guys have.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Not this team.
They hurt. Right. You just said that. You just said they sold been was cr- FIFA, the momentum we, change. Souls crushed because KD out.
That's all. I'm gonna leave it at that.
FIFA,
we saw him by himself, and they still lost.
Unanimous.
Listen,
47 though.
They are overmatched. They lost, though. Without KD.
Okay.
The caveat is without KD.
They are struggling, bro.
Look.
It makes me question they if they didn't win. If KD
don't
never
even
came,
say it. You
if KD
say
ain't
it.
Never came,
no,
are we just, talking about three piece
oh,
at all?
Oh, Jesus.
Are we talking
Christ.
About, come on, man. We see.
LeBron,
we see.
LeBron would have got a couple more.
Exactly.
LeBron would have got
a couple more. They only won. B already said all right, it.
Fine. But.
Asterisk on their first championship.
That matters if they lose this series. If they win this series.
Yeah, if they win the series. Yeah, but if they. I'm expecting them to lose. They lose in game six. I say Raptors in six. I'm sticking
to
it.
You just sticking to your gun. That's all.
That's fine. That was your call. My call was fine.
I be sending y'all facts all the time. All y'all say back to me is championship DNA. Championship. I'm like 13 out of 16 quarters they lost.
So let me ask you. You going to keep the same energy when Golden State win?
I don't need to. That's a hypothetical. I don't even think about it.
He's gonna be salty as hell.
I'm gonna quit the show. I'm gonna say. That's gonna be my last day recording. I'm gonna come in. I'm like, I'm
gonna be so salty, man.
I refuse to believe I'm gonna see 2-3-1 leads in the finals get knocked down.
Hey, baby, history
by the underdog team. Never I refuse to believe that. I'm gonna see that in the next.
I thought the Raptors were the underdogs coming in this series.
Not in this series.
Coming into the series. Yeah, they were the underdog.
Well, I'm saying,
and that was without KD.
Yeah, but that's because that was Vegas. That was Vegas. Don't give a damn about them. I'm talking about
Vegas. Be right a lot.
They ain't about to be right about this.
It matters because we need to make sure we just correct. If the Raptors were the underdogs, they the underdogs coming into the series. That's what they were.
Yeah,
I'm just a stickler.
Yeah, all right. I mean, we gonna keep it that way. But nonetheless.
But either way, man, I just don't see it the way I've seen it in the past. In the past, you felt it. They just looked like you just couldn't beat them. They look beatable.
They're vulnerable. Definitely vulnerable.
Extremely.
They're vulnerable. I'm not saying that they're invincible, and I'm not saying that they're that version of just, damn, what the hell do we do? They're not that. They're not that. But they're enough of it to beat this squad.
You disrespecting Kawhi.
I'm not disrespecting Kawhi.
I don't think so. If KD didn't come back last night, it would have ended last night. It would have ended last night.
They needed him 11 points from KD.
Needed him, period. Because not only the 11 points, KD being in that game in the first quarter, not even the defense. What did it do for Steph? Steph had 14 points and they only missed one shot.
Mm-hmm.
It opened up everything. Now they can put their hip back on Steph.
And Steph was shaky until the late second half.
And he's getting tired.
He was like 5-for-14.
He said something last night that, you know, I be listening to these things. It seems insignificant, but I'll be paying attention. He was like, yeah, I should have my legs back up. I should have my legs back for game Thursday, which means that he's starting to get worn down. So at some point, what happens in game 7? Maybe it's not the Raptors that disappear. Maybe Steph at that point, he ain't got it anymore. Maybe Klay ain't got it anymore. Klay shooting down to 60% from three. Y'all think that's going to happen for 2 more games? Yep. It can, because he's a badass motherfucker.
Right.
But at some point, it's going to reverse back towards the mean. It has to. The averages are the averages. And at some point, he's going to come back to that 45, 49, whatever he shoot career-wise. Mm. He can't shoot 60%. 10% higher?
Steph about to get them legs back for Thursday. He about to light the run
around. Okay, he'll get it back for Thursday, but what about Sunday?
He going to light the ass up. He's going to have 2 days of rest.
That's not going to be enough.
Yes, it is.
It wasn't enough when that was a one game.
Let's not talk about game 7. There? They see? Still on games. Give the Raptors some respect. Come on, man. Why y'all going to game 7 game 6 is already in the bag?
I'm giving Kawhi the respect.
I'm jumping to game 7, even though I picked the Raptors to win. I'm jumping to game 7. What's
the game on Thursday, right?
They about to hit them with an avalanche, boy, on Thursday.
Anyway, what else going on, man?
Finals. The NBA Finals.
some NFL news. Did y'all hear about Carson Wentz? He got that
contract. Got that deal.
What y'all think about that?
Gotta do it.
Market.
He's young. He's gonna be your QB for the next decade. So
what's the numbers?
It's up. It can go up to with incentives 128, but it's a guarantee of like 108.
For how many years?
I think it's four.
Yeah. Who else you gonna pay? What other quarterback is out there?
They could have paid Nick.
Hell no.
Could have made the nigga who won him a Super Bowl.
You're going to see what he looked like next year.
Yes, hey, you will.
Jacksonville about to be on fire.
Yes, you will. You about to see what.
Nigga, Nick, you crazy.
Well, if Leonard Fournette comes back, because, you know, he wasn't 100%.
They might trade his ass.
No, what are they talking about? He bought out the year before. He had an injury bug year this year.
Jacksonville is getting tired of the nigga shit that they've been dealing with Jalen Ramsey and him.
Before, though. I'm saying. Their issue was Blake Bortles, really. I mean, Leonard Fournette was balling.
No, I agree.
This past season, he was just maybe just injured.
No, I agree. I'm just saying, like, personally, it's like Odell Beckham. Like, he's a great baller, but personality wise, and
he ball out. If he getting them W's and he's balling out,
I wouldn't trade him yet.
No, I'm gonna keep him. He a physical back. You need that.
I think it's just I hope Carson Wentz pay off for Philly, because
that mean they already got a Super Bowl. What else need to pay off?
Yeah, but this is who you drafted to get
11, 12 games before he got injured.
That was 1 year. I mean, Andy Dalton was 8-0 1 year
though. He got them there.
You got a quarterback. You got to pay him.
You got him.
And we know he can play the game. That much we do know.
And that was an MVP season until he got hurt. He was literally about to be MVP until he got hurt.
I'm getting tired that we got to pay these quarterbacks, though. Like, why? All these quarterbacks ain't worth this money that they getting.
I mean, who you going to pay? Is that
not all of them?
Right. Not all of them. But
he's
like,
worth it.
Yeah. Because if not him, who?
Because now I think Dak number is going to go up, too.
That may not be worth it.
Yeah, Dak.
I see Dak signing a $130 million contract.
I can see that happening, too. And he's not worth it.
Yeah, he's not worth it, but it's the market, man.
It's the market, yeah.
It's the market.
But we all know he ain't that dude, but why is he getting paid
because
like this?
Because the thing is, if you don't pay him, who you going to pay then?
You're supposed to pay Zeke.
But, you know, you pay Zeke and the quarterback.
They might not have enough money. They gave DeMarcus Lawrence or whatever. They gave him about $100 million.
It is Jerry World. They got enough money.
They make a lot of money off that stadium.
They sure
need
do.
One of them.
They're paying them taxes or whatever they got paying the NFL. Jerry be all right. Mm-hmm. Don't feel bad for Jerry.
No, I ain't feeling bad for Jerry. I'm just saying Dak overrated.
He is, but it's the market. At the end
overrated.
Of the day, he's a Dak winning overrated? Quarterback.
I'm talking about for that pay scale. That's overrated. Yeah,
because his numbers don't support it.
I mean, but the market
his win percentage supports.
Yeah,
but his individual statistics.
No,
I thought you were talking about his play. I was I don't know
saying,
anybody overrated
for his play in that contract.
But the
numbers
overrated. For the contract.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, they'll probably pay him. You know, I think he's going to be for the wins only.
Yeah, of course.
And just to keep that.
But how do you separate that from Zeke? Because when Zeke wasn't there,
that's why you pay them both.
Yep.
And hope Zeke stay out of trouble.
Yep.
That nigga, man. That might be a tall task for him.
He'll get right. He'll get right. He'll be fine. He'll be fine, man. So, Lakers, man. What was that you sent us, FIFA?
Basically, AD is definitely not off the trading table. David Griffin is definitely going to trade him. And he would like to do it before the draft. Remember on
like
this
three-team deal, right?
Yeah. Remember on this show here, I told y'all weeks ago, it don't make no sense to go past the draft in trading AD. It doesn't. He loses too much value at that point in time. You lose a lot of your leverage. But yeah, basically, he wants a three-team deal. He wants to get at least one all-star caliber player. And it's kind of like on a sliding scale. If the player that I'm receiving in return isn't that good, then I want more draft pick compensation. If that player is really good, then I need less draft pick compensation. So, he's not going to be in New Orleans. Mm. And he's not going to play with Zion,
so what,
basically.
What team do you see that being the third team?
I don't know.
With Minnesota?
I don't know. Because three-team trades are very interesting. Because you got to see what all teams involved are interested in, right? Like, New Orleans is interested in receiving assets in return, right? So, either draft pick compensation or all-star level type of player, right? LA, the Lakers, they want a bona fide superstar or all-star, right? So they're getting that in AD. So what does a third team want? Like, do they want to, take on salary and draft picks? Like, it just depends on that third team, how you make it work out. Because that third team is going to have to be able to contribute some type of draft pick to make this work and also be able to absorb salary to make this work. You know what I'm saying? So
maybe Phoenix. Maybe that's where Lonzo ends up. Give up Devin Booker and get some and package some deal together. I mean, because it ain't like they winning games with him.
Nah,
and he would be an all-star caliber player.
I don't see Phoenix giving up Devin Booker to get Lonzo.
Well, I'm saying Lonzo with some other things.
Well, here's the thing. Obviously, they're going to get the fourth pick in this draft, if New Orleans does it with the Lakers. So if I was driving either one of these ships, to me, I'm moving AD to New York. And if I'm New York, I'm making that move. Because at least I get AD. I can try to convince Kyrie or KD, right? Even though we know it's a 1 year flyer on KD, he got to get back at this, that, and the third. But if AD says he'll re-sign in New York, I'll make that move. And if I'm New Orleans, then obviously I'm getting Mitchell Robinson 100%. I'm getting Alonzo Trier 100%. You know, I'll give up Drew Holiday. I'll trade him somewhere else. And I want that third pick because I'm taking RJ. And my big three is going to be Mitchell, Zion, RJ, and whoever else they can get. You know what I'm saying? So to me, if I'm New Orleans, I'm making the New York move.
And for me, it's just like, why as New York do you give up that much when you could just draft RJ and wait for somebody in 20? But KD most likely gonna stay anyway. Just wait for him to be a free agent again next year. Because it's
not guaranteed. Like, look at how many.
There's gonna be another free agent class next summer.
I understand that, but look at how many free agent classes that Dallas was trying to be a part of.
But Dallas ain't New York.
I understand that, but Dallas has a way better owner. That's number one, right? And number two, less taxes, because at the end of the day, it's about money, well, right? All I'm saying is that Dallas is also an attractive place, not as attractive as the city of New York. I give you that. But at the end of the day, you want to win. Dallas has shown the propensity to win, to put a championship team around and be loyal. Be loyal. So it's better to trade and get what you want.
My thing is this. Was the speculation of KD not coming to New York, was James Dolan not the owner of the team at that time too? This whole time?
I understand that.
So then if KD is thinking about going to New York or buying property out there and it's looking like he's going, then why, like, does that not resonate for other free agents to be like, if KD's going, I can go too? If he trusts him, I trust him.
But from New York's perspective, why not make the AD move and solidify? I got a guy.
Because you just got back to being like you just canceled all your debt.
Are you in sales?
Now you broke now.
Are you in sales?
No.
If I was selling you, and you were a max value free agent. Alonzo Trier, I'm selling you on Mitchell Robinson's progression. I'm selling you on all of these other things. Or do you think it's easier for me to sell you on, hey, bro, we got AD. What you want to do?
I'm saying this. Hey, bro, we can pay you supermax money and you can pick your teammate.
No. Listen.
Can you not do that?
I'm selling you a basketball player on the fact that I have another player at your level, if not higher than your level. Why do you not want to sign here? Plus, we're New York. Versus me telling you that in 2 years, all of these young guys I got, plus this draft pick I'm going to get now, we're going to be some special, but we need you now.
They can easily say, KD, sign here. We can get Kemba right now. He got him on the line. He just waiting to hear your voice. I'm just saying, like, we don't have to do all this extra shit.
What you're doing is extra.
How is that extra?
Because what I'm
saying, that's a part of the plan.
But what I'm saying
was AD a part of the plan originally?
But at the end of the day, so you know you need to.
So now we're changing courses, plan.
No, what I'm saying,
so you're giving me an option, I'm giving you the other one.
What I'm saying is that when you are trying to get assets, right? Like, because that's all business is, right? And in basketball, the asset is a basketball player or a draft pick. And it's about having the best assets available. AD, outside of KD, is the next best asset available.
He's not available. You have to give up something. You got to give up something to get
him. I understand
him.
That.
Available means, for me, this summer, is are you a free agent or not?
But what I mean in terms of availability, he is available for me to acquire. I have enough to acquire AD as the New York Knicks. And all I'm saying, to sell you another max basketball player, it's easier to do that with this guy that I know he gave me his word that he's gonna re-sign here long term.
And I disagree with you again, because I don't think they got the best deal. Because that's the cool. Lakers got the best deal.
No, hell no.
The Lakers don't have the better assets.
No.
No. You just told me that I think an episode ago you were like Lonzo, Ingram, and Kuzma, you said compare that to any of the top three on the Knicks players, they washing them, no matter what, one, two, or three. And then you said the only thing that the New York Knicks is that third
pick. Is that draft pick.
Yes.
But that's huge for New Orleans. So if I'm looking at it from New Orleans perspective, I want New York's pick, not LA's pick.
Yeah, exactly.
And also because even with the Lakers players, right now, I would say Lonzo is as good, if not better, than Lonzo Trier, right? Kyle Kuzma is better than any one of those youngins, and so is Brandon Ingram.
I know, but I'm saying to you is, I'm using your own words again, what you always say. You always say, look at a trade as what?
On both sides. Yeah.
So what so who has the better deal, the Lakers or the Knicks?
From the Pelicans' perspective?
From the Pelicans' perspective.
The Knicks.
We're going to have to disagree on that one.
All right, so David Griffin came out and said the Pelicans are not in a hurry to trade Anthony Davis before the draft, but he kind of has to say that. And Woj said that the Lakers are leader in the clubhouse to trade for Anthony Davis, and that, and of course, they're remaining aggressive and trying to complete the trade.
You know the reason why the Lakers are the leader in this?
Because of Rich Paul?
That's it. That's the only reason why. But if we're looking at from an assets perspective, right? Because if I'm New Orleans, I got to look at how I'm going to build my team post Anthony Davis, right? So I know I'm getting Zion. We're not mincing anything. That's who we're getting. So that's our immediate starting point, right? And I said that when you build a team, it's about puzzle pieces. What does Zion Williamson do best? He's a superstar version of Draymond Green, right? Which means that he does all of the little stuff that doesn't always come up on the box score. He can get his own points because of just the sheer nature of his physicality and his athletic ability. He has enough handle. He's a playmaker, right? So what does that look like that you put around him? Rim protector, right? Because yeah, he can go, you know, get some blocks, weak side help and stuff, but you would want somebody that can protect the rim, so it allows Zion to roam, right? Is that not Mitchell Robinson? Lakers don't have that. Do I not need, if I'm going to start getting rid of Drew Holiday, right, do I not need guard productivity? Yeah, I'm getting RJ Barrett. He's going to be either my two or my three, but I need guard play, right? So that's Alonzo Trier. Who else they'll be giving up?
You got Knox.
Kevin Knox. Another guy that could slide in right into the three. But I feel
no, I'm
you.
Just saying, take him.
Yeah, take him. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And if I'm New Orleans, hell yeah, I want him.
It seems like you're talking on both sides. That's what I'm saying.
I'm gonna simplify it.
Okay.
You just said that the reason why the Lakers are in play is because of Rich Paul.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I say if you're the Knicks, you got one shot.
Yep.
And this is it. Because if you don't get him, meaning trade for him, you're not getting him next year.
Yep.
I don't think he's worth it.
Then
I don't think he's worth giving up all that. And because it's not just the players, you got to give up picks too, outside of this year's pick.
I think.
Because New Orleans is going to ask for the boatload. This is their franchise player.
I'll give him this pick and I'll give him next year's first round pick. Doesn't matter.
Woj also said that the Lakers, the Knicks, and the Mavericks are interested in Kemba Walker.
If the Hornets don't resign him.
Well, Kemba said that he would love to stay in Charlotte, I think. But obviously, Jordan ain't going to try to pay him. I want you to stay in Charlotte money.
I think what'll probably happen is a sign and trade in that situation. Because think about when you go up and down the Dallas roster in your head, what salary sticks out to you?
KP.
Nah.
Nah, he's selling his rookie. He's selling his rookie deal.
No, but he signed an extension.
He signed an extension.
He's in New York. I'm trying to remember who's on the team.
He's on a rookie.
Yeah.
Whose contract sticks out like a sore thumb? Tim Hardaway. So Tim Hardaway is going to be at the centerpiece.
That nigga was on that team.
Yeah. He's going to be at the centerpiece of that Kemba.
Oh, he's not in
New York? Nah, they've been traded his ass.
He came with KP.
Oh,
yeah, they had to get rid of cap space to get the two max.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
So Tim Hardaway Jr. is going to be part of any Kemba Walker signing trade because Dallas don't have enough salary cap to just outright sign a Kemba Walker.
So you saying Tim Hardaway may go back to New York?
No. He's going to go back to Charlotte. He's going to go to Charlotte.
Oh, okay.
All right. And I got two more fun facts and we're going to get out of here. I'm on Bleacher Report. So they have a tweet from Colin that says that players who have missed all or most of an NBA season, I don't know if you guys heard this, but he said Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, Blake Griffin, Steph Curry, MJ, John Stockton, Larry Bird, Kobe, David Robinson, and now Durant. LeBron's the outlier. One injury, 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
That is freaking crazy, it is. It is. Man.
How many rings does he got compared to those players?
LeBron's three, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's see. MJ has six.
Kobe got five.
Kobe got five. Robinson has what, two? One?
Who?
David Robinson?
David Robinson got one.
KD got two.
Mm-hmm.
No, Kawhi
was
got
was
one.
Was David Robinson on that 03? Nah,
yeah, Kawhi he was on the two, first one.
He was on the 99. He was the 99. Was he on the 03 yeah. one? Nah, I don't think so. He retired at like David 2000 Robinson. Or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Damn. He got three. Steph got two? Three. Steph got three.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Kawhi got one. So I'm going to go in order. So Kawhi got one. So Steph got three. Jordan six. Larry Bird three. Kobe five. David Robinson one. Durant two. And LeBron got three.
So, it's about half and half as far as career-wise.
Yeah.
As far as multiple championships, even though you had an injury. That's just a list.
No, it was more about his health.
David Robinson.
David Robinson got two.
So, he does have two.
He was on that 2003 squad.
He was? Damn, yeah, I thought
that
he retired.
He retired after that.
Okay, I know it was early 2000 he retired.
Yeah.
He played. It looked like he wasn't going to get one. I remember.
He played from 89 to 2003.
Yeah, I love David Robinson, man.
Until he played a king.
Yeah, well, yeah, that was it. And then the last one, and this is why I hate to even read this stat, but I'm going to do it anyway.
You're looking at me, so it must be it's done with the Pistons.
Stephen Curry is averaging 32.4 points with a 60.7 true shooting percentage in the finals. List of players to match or exceed those numbers in league history. LeBron James in 2016 and in 2017. Kevin Durant in 2016. Damn, so Kevin Durant and LeBron in the same finals? That's crazy.
Nuts.
Shaq in 2001 and Michael Jordan in 1991.
Wow.
God, that's crazy. Wow. Where's Kawhi?
Yeah, Jordan was nuts. Yeah, Jordan.
Don't call that man out.
I'm just saying, man.
Don't call that man out.
All these guys are champions. All these guys
Kawhi's
are champions.
Kawhi's a champion, too.
His name is not on the list.
He's 88 on the list.
He's not on the list. The only person that didn't win the year they did it was LeBron. And he went against Kevin Durant, the Warriors. So he didn't stand a chance.
He couldn't stand a chance.
So we'll see if Steph Curry if he can.
That's crazy. LeBron never really dominated his era.
What do you mean?
Okay, man. We're gonna be here the whole.
So nine straight finals is not
FIFO.
Dominated?
FIFO. We gonna have to say
not as far as winning.
Day.
If you consider going to the finals winning, then yeah. But I don't consider going to the finals winning.
That's a whole other conversation.
That's a whole other conversation.
I'm just saying.
Let's just leave it.
We named a lot of champions that won in his timeline. A lot of them. They got multiple rings. Multiple.
We'll catch you guys next week. We out.
He ended so disrespectful.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he did. We out.